Are you looking for a Columbus car dealership built on tradition and trust? Buyers Auto, family-owned since 1897, offers top new and pre-owned vehicles. Visit us or shop online at buyersauto.com. Buyers Auto, driving the next generation of buyers.
The semi-annual warehouse clearance event is on at Sleep Outfitters. Save up to $1,000 store-wide with our lifetime price guarantee and 100% comfort guarantee. Why shop anywhere else? Limited time clearance savings only at Sleep Outfitters. Visit sleepoutfitters.com.
Hello and welcome to Grazia Life Advice, Grazia's podcast. I'm Rhiannon, and each week I'll be interviewing women worth listening to and getting them to pass on the six best pieces of advice they've ever been given, and the worst piece too. Thank you so much for joining us for our eighth episode. Our guest this week is broadcaster, author and columnist Gemma Kearney. Gemma's used to giving good advice. She presented The Surgery Show on Radio 1 for years, and in 2017 released her first book called Open, A Toolkit for How Magic and Messed Up Life Can Be. She came to the Grazia offices a few weeks ago to share the advice she has been given over the years and gave us loads of ideas to help build up what she brilliantly calls her emotional armour. So, over to Gemma. I'm here with the lovely Gemma Kearney. Hi, Gemma.
Hello.
How are you today?
I'm in a really good mood. I'm pretty much giddy, to be honest.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Good.
It's a good day.
Yeah, the purple tights are giving that to me as well.
It's true. If you dress like a clown, you make yourself laugh.
Oh, we've already given advice and we haven't even started. Thanks for that. Okay, so you're here to give us your best advice. You're great at this stuff. Obviously, you've got a history of helping people out and giving people good advice. So we're really looking forward to digging into this with you. So it's going to be your six best piece of advice you've been given and the one worst. So I think let's dig straight in. So first piece of advice, you've said keep your head up, which, you know, that's key, isn't it? And that's quite simple, but hard to do sometimes. Tell me about that.
It is so simple and I love that. I think the best advice is kind of short and easy to understand. And keep your head up is from an ex who I no longer speak to, who didn't turn out to be a very nice person, but you got to take the best of these things. And I do remember I was in my early 20s, maybe even my late teens. I was young, but I was also an adult in some ways, and I was out there in the world. And I think, you know, there's lots of different barriers that you come across just being a human and experiencing growing pains. But I would say it's quite specific if you've grown up in a quite kind of dramatic household. Mm-hmm. If you've been through any type of strife, like being a girl makes it different. Being a woman of colour makes it different all together again. So, like, you know, I was this hodgepodge of feelings. Even though I'm an eternal optimist, I did sometimes feel like I was lacking in self-confidence. Mm-hmm. And there wasn't the discussion that we have today. We didn't talk about lack of confidence. We didn't talk about self-esteem. We didn't talk about mental health. We just sort of got on with things, which kind of made me the optimist that I am. But I do remember like feeling like I didn't know where I belonged in the world. Mm. And he just said, he had a Manchester accent. He's just like, keep your head up, Gem. And I was just like, what do you mean? He's like, you're amazing. Just make sure no matter what, even if you are feeling down or you're facing adversity, like you deserve to be here. You have a place in the world regardless, and keep your head up. And I've heard it in my head many times since, because there are times where you just think, oh God, I'm not supposed to be here. But just lift that head back up, because everyone is supposed to be here.
Yeah. And I think the irony, of course, always is that the moments when you need to lift your head highest is sometimes the last time you want to do it. You're thinking, I don't know if I can do this. And so it's important to remind you of those kind of things.
Definitely. And you get such a kick out of kind of forcing yourself in a way sometimes. I think when it's something that comes natural to you, you don't necessarily realise it. But those days where your head is dropping and you just pick it back up and you get through it, I always call it like an extra bit of emotional armor. Like you can add it to your sort of challenges that you've overcome, and it can help you, because that feeling will come again, but you remember the time that you managed to keep your head up.
Yeah, absolutely. And sometimes it's about faking it till you make it, isn't it? Like just keeping it
I mean, who's made it?
Yeah.
If they've told you they have, they're lying.
That's
like,
true.
There's like, you might get a little like peak, but then there's always troughs.
Yeah.
That's just the fun of it.
Yeah. And I love your next piece of advice because it kind of feeds into that as well. What you were saying about, you know, it's only recently that we've started really being open and honest about our emotions and our mental health. And that's your second piece of advice, which is just to be open and honest.
Be open, absolutely. I wrote a book, it's 2 years ago now, and when I was thinking about what it actually was, because I've got quite a busy mind, I had loads of different ideas, I was like, what is the sentiment of this book? And it ended up being called Open. And open is just such a lovely word, and it can be applied to so many positive things. So like, open your heart,
yeah,
open your mind. And I like to be an open person. I open up. So if you have that and you know how to achieve like that quality with regards to just when stuff is getting you down or you feel like something's unfair, I think it's a really good thing to try and be open. Like, I come from a complicated family, like many people listening, I'm sure, like, do. And one thing that I really credit my mum for, and there's many reasons why I credit her, like, she's strong, she's tenacious, and she's clever. But I will always say, and I always have said, even from a child, that the fact that she was open with me about any of the kind of stickier subject matters in our family, the messier stuff, from a small child, I knew it all. So I never like had to realise like all this stuff and be like bashed over the head with like some home truths. So it was just a part of our lifestyle. And I think, I really recommend that to people, just to be open with people close to them and be open to themselves and to keep an open heart and mind. And it's an easier way to live, because I feel like we stifle and suppress quite a lot.
Do you think it's always easier? I mean, sometimes it's a bit easier just to, you know, go around the truth. Sometimes you don't want to have those difficult conversations.
It's not always easy, but it's easier in terms of your heart, like how it feels, like emotionally. And that's in my case, in my life, I like to let people know like what's going on. And it can be a positive thing. It's like, it's really good to have an open mind. Like, it kind of keeps you on your toes, and it, you know, it makes me a traveler. I travel the world, and I like meeting new people. That's because I have an open mind. I don't discriminate of any walk of life, and I don't condemn like many people, like, you know, and that's because I have an open heart. And I do think, yeah, of course, like, of course it's so hard to be completely true to ourselves, and it's so hard to talk about things that are really, really hard. But it's nearly always worth it, I find. As long as you consider the way that you're kind of executing it, or the way that you're talking about things, I think, you know, it's within human nature for us to have empathy and to care, and it feels better out than in.
Yeah. And have you found traveling, different cultures have different approaches, don't they, to honesty and openness? Have you found, how do you think we rank in Britain?
Not very good, to be honest. You know, it is true what they say about the British stiff upper lip and this kind of sort of strange Western perfectionism that a lot of the Western world does, I think, is slightly terrifying. And a lot of it is to do with making money. You know, I feel like we could buy ourselves out of anything, can't we, really? Yeah, we'll be fine. And we could buy ourselves an Instagrammable wedding. Yeah. Which is fun. Like, I like nice things, and I like my environment. But at the same time, like, when you go to different countries in Africa and you see people making music and everybody's dancing, and I don't want to stereotype, because like, Africa is a complex and like culturally rich continent, but I was just in Accra in Ghana in West Africa, and it was the beast from the east here in the UK. So I was being sent pictures of my doorstep covered in snow, and I'd got on a plane for 6 hours on a direct flight and was in 30 degree heat in the most kind of vibrant, colourful, super fun, super progressive. There's an amazing spoken word scene out there. Like, I went to a radio station, which is like the biggest youth radio station there, like the equivalent of Radio One, you know, that I know here. And it was just so cool. And I was just, and everybody was really like, and expressive, and yeah, I like to be in warm places where I can see lots of life and lots of colour, and I think we could do a bit more of that.
Yeah, I'd like some more of that. At least the warmth.
But you know, just even though people interact, it's like more physical, everything's a bit more bustly. It's kind of, you live like an, like, I felt like there was like this sense of like moment by moment rather than overanalyzing, which I think we do.
Yeah, absolutely. The third note you have here, you're going to tell us about something that happened to you and how that kind of was a lesson to you.
Oh, I love this one. It's more like an anecdote. It was a little moment. I like to be bold and experiment. And actually, I visit a lot of schools now with the book, with Open. I've been on lots of different book tours and stuff, and like a lot of the time, like, teenagers are like, how are you so confident? Which I find kind of a bizarre question, because I don't always feel confident, but I do have a big kind of sense of humor when it comes to life. Like, I find life like quite funny and very fun, so I do stupid things like wear blue lipstick to an award ceremony.
Okay.
And was feeling quite self-conscious about that, because I was suddenly in a room at the Sony Awards, which are no longer, but they're kind of like the radio Oscars.
Yeah.
And I was wearing bright blue Smurf blue lipstick.
Okay.
That I'd got done like in the MAC shop, and Beyonce had come out with a video that where she'd been wearing blue lipstick, and I was like, I'm gonna give it a go, and they convinced me that it looked normal. And it was kind of a few years before there, so there's been a bit more of a phenomena of colourful lipsticks since, but it was quite a few years ago. And I just felt like a bit of an idiot. And I went with Trevor Nelson, who was my co-host at the time, and he was just like, Gem, like, you look mad.
No.
And I was just like, oh God. And then I went into a very male-dominated room at the Dorchester Hotel, which is super fancy, like chandeliers and champagne, and everybody was dressed in black tie. And like, everybody was just kind of looking at me like I was some sort of like blue-kissing alien. Like, yeah, I felt a bit like, oh, for goodness sake, maybe I shouldn't have taken this, I should have, like, this bold risk, like, why didn't I just stick to the classic red? And then across from me on a table, one of the only other women in the room who also coincidentally was the coolest person in the world, Lauren Laverne, like, looked at me, and I'd only worked with her like once, I didn't know her that well, and she just mouthed at me like, I love your lipstick. And like, in a super like woman to woman, like fierce, like, yes, mate. And I suddenly just like felt a bit more kind of RuPaul about the situation, and was sashaying around the room and felt cool, because if you get the seal of approval from Lala, like, you are sorted. So that was just a beautiful moment. Just like, I guess the advice would be to pass on compliments, and to, even if it means like mouthing across a table, and to just make other people feel good. And she's always done that since, like, we've become really good friends, and she's so generous with her kindness and advice and just kind of like big ups, like, she's wicked. And I think that's something that we can all learn, is just like, do turn around at the wedding and mouth across to somebody and say like, I love your dress, or go up to someone at the bus stop if you like their shoes and tell them that you love them, because it's a nice thing to do, and like, people appreciate it.
Yeah, absolutely. I feel like we're coming to that more as women recently, and it's that realization, I think, that being nice to other women and giving compliments and helping people out doesn't take anything away from you, and it's actually important to put out there what you would like to receive back as well.
It actually adds to your day, it actually adds to the warmth that you feel. If you radiate positivity, like, you get it back. And I get a kick out of telling people that I like their stuff, because I'll only say it if I really do. Yeah. You know, and yeah, it's super nice to compliment people. I feel like we're in such a judgy time. Like, I think it must have something to do with social media and just this judginess of like, oh, I like that and don't like that. And we're like, have you heard? Or this is, you know, the way that we should be achieving, or this equals success, or this is the way we should look or be. And I just think you sometimes have to physically shake that off and just like live in the moment and look around you and see what actually like kind of gets you going, like rather than just on a screen.
Yeah, because obviously you being the position you are, you know, normal women will have it day to day where they feel a bit attacked, but you're out there, you're on social media, you're going to award ceremonies, all these awful best and worst dress lists and things that happen. I mean, how do you keep that under control and like, you know, not worry about that?
Well, I mentioned it already, like I've got a sense of humour. You could tell by the way I actually dress that like I like to have fun. And so I find it mostly funny. I think it's always really interesting if someone's going to diss like what I'm wearing. Firstly, because I find it so kind of non-important in the world. So I find that interesting that it's such a fascination. And also just to see like how someone will diss me. Like I remember I was wearing a green velvet dress and somebody said that it was the colour of mildew.
Right.
And I thought that was quite creative, so I quite liked that. And then another time I was wearing a velvet suit which had like a smoking jacket style for the jacket part. And somebody, a reporter had said, put me in a worst dress list and said, she's wearing a smoking jacket. And it wasn't even a diss. It was just a statement. I was just like, yes, I am. Like,
yeah.
But like, why is that so bad? Like,
compliments on
I'm
your
not
eyes.
Smoking in it. I'm just wearing an old school classic garment.
Yeah.
Like there was no creativity or flair in the diss. So as far as I'm concerned, as long as like, it's got a bit of oomph, then I don't mind. I'll find that pretty funny. And it really depends on like where I'm at in life. Like it depends on the time of the month. It depends on like whether I'm feeling like confident in my like circle of mates, whether I'm like heartbroken, whether I've been swimming a lot, or like whether I've been partying too much. Like that's you know, that will kind of like that will change how I feel if someone out there is going to try and throw daggers. But mostly I kind of know how to protect myself and hang out with people that I love, and like I live by the sea and I jump in it and I swim, and then nothing, like, well, it doesn't matter what you're wearing, you're swimming in a freezing cold sea, does it? I go to yoga in like a hot, dark room and feel like I'm in the womb. I just don't, I'm a hippie, like, I don't actually care. Yeah. Yes, I like to look nice. Yeah, I like being sexy sometimes. Yeah, I like to have fun, and all this glitz and stuff is really fun. It's like, it's so fake that it's like a sort of, it's a playground, but it's not me.
Yeah, absolutely. Your fourth piece of advice I'm really into, and I think it's really important. Knowing that you're not the only person, not just one person can save the world.
Oh, unfortunately not. I feel like if one person could save the world, then they would have done it by now.
We would have just let them at it.
Yeah, like, come on! Yeah. Even Oprah, who is pretty close to being able to, maybe. Yeah, I just think we do this kind of like fearful idolization of certain people on this planet. And really, if we want to change certain things within it, it's about togetherness. And it's about, you know, organizations, collectives, people, community. And I just don't think that one person has all the answers, because we are very complex. Like, we are tonal. We can be happy, sad. We can be wrong. We can be right. We can change our minds. That's actually allowed, even if we've posted it on our Facebook.
Yeah.
You know, we are so many different things. We can be confident and we can be angry and then really happy. Like, so therefore, the fact that we're so many different things, I just don't think that that one person knows exactly how to completely conquer everything. And I think that we just need to like not focus too much attention, particularly in this idea of like wellness and lifestyle, as an example, on one particular guru or one particular method, when it's very much individual to us as to how we respond to certain things. Nobody has got the answer like to the perfect life. And I just think it's really important that we know that, because again, I think it's just buying into this quite strange simmering pot of us just kind of spending money. If we just think like one person's like the god of all, then we'll buy everything that they say. And I think maybe I like my bookshelf to be varied.
Who do you turn to? Who do you think is, I mean, you mentioned Oprah.
Yeah, I saw Oprah talk just a couple of weeks ago, and it was very special. And she was just beautiful, you know, like she had such a presence and spoke so beautifully about finding your inner light. And in some ways it was very spiritual, which I thought was cool. But she's great. I love lots of women. I love my best friend, Beth. Mm. I run a company with her. We run a production company. And she is the cleverest person I know. She's so smart. She's so honest. I've never had my brain fed by anybody so regularly in a way that she makes me think, and that she makes me feel like I get more knowledge from just hanging out with her. Mm. So that's amazing. There's so many people. And I try to keep my eyes open to women of history. Mm. I love to like go into a wormhole. If we're going to go into wormholes online, I really like it to be like looking at pictures of old female punks and just looking at polystyrene, black and white photos. So she was a punk singer from the 70s. And at the time that I found her, I was wearing a brace. And there was all these like really intense, brilliant pictures of her, like ripping it apart on stage with the brace. This mixed race girl who felt like an odd one out and just like ran away from home age 16 and just traveled the country making really intense music. I mean, there's not loads of that I would love to do, but there was something about that kind of rebellious spirit. And also she had a brace. I was like, she's my brace-spiration. You know, there's just so many incredible, particularly women. There's brilliant people. Mm. But like, I love to research like women of history.
Yeah. I think it's really freeing as well to feel like there's not one person that can solve all your problems, because it's kind of about dropping that ego. And also, you know, it's also a responsibility. Sometimes we feel like we're the only people that can solve things, and actually, you know, it's not always just you who's the answer, is it?
It's just not true. And I think we place too much on everything. I have a life that's peppered with different things that I need as and when, like, to help me out. Like, I've done therapy, I do yoga, I have really tight, good best mates of all sorts that do different things, I go to for different things. I know where I love to travel in the world if I need some chill. Like, it could be a mixture of everything, and that is so personal to one person, you know, like that you have to go on that discovery yourself. And it's definitely not just going to be your best mate or just your mum. Like, it's a lot of pressure to put on someone.
Yeah, absolutely.
Or even just the therapist, or you know, it's like it's a mixture. It's like I always say that we're smoothies made up of different ingredients, and like that's the kind of metaphor for life as well. Like, we just need different things at different points.
Yeah, absolutely. And I love your fifth piece of advice, because it's just so hard to remember sometimes, but we kind of feel like we all know it, but I don't think any of us live by it. Money can't buy happiness.
It can buy some good stuff.
Yeah, it can, especially these days. You're like, oh yeah, I like that. That can help.
It can buy a leopard print dress, you know. That makes me happy for a moment of time. But I think sometimes it's also like tracing that, like thinking about where you buy the leopard print dress. Is it from an independent designer that you've been watching for ages on Instagram and that you know that not many people are going to have it, you know? Is it because it's your birthday party and you're going to see all your mates and you spent ages organising like the most cool shindig? Yeah. So I just think we need to think about like how we spend money, and I think we can get obsessed with it. Mm. You know, we live in like fast times. Like, supposedly as soon as we get a mortgage, like everything will be brilliant. Like, you'll have a house and like maybe your tie or something, and you can put it up on Instagram. Yeah. Like, and that's like a moment. Like, it's been proved that you get a dopamine hit in the brain when you get a like on Instagram. But in terms of like, does it actually make you happy? Like, I don't think that money can buy it. I think it's about the people that you surround yourself in, like the values that you have. And I was actually joking with my dad on the phone earlier. He was telling me he's got a really bad cold. And I was just like trying to be kind, and I was worried about him, and I was telling him like different things that he could do. And I was like, have you steamed your throat? And he's like, oh, I haven't done that. I've done that before though in the past. Oh yeah, yeah, I'll do it. Like, okay, so I might as well, it was free. And I was like, you'll find that most things that work and that are good actually are, just nobody tells you. And then we cracked up for like 10 minutes, and it's like, kind of true.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's just, you know, we all think that we'd like to live that way, but it's hard, isn't it? When, especially, I think it's competitive. It's about competitiveness, and you see, you think, oh, money doesn't make me happy. And then you're like, oh, but that person's got that, and I want that. You know?
It's so within our nature. It's literally as animals, like within human nature, we are naturally competitive, and we do like nice things. Again, that is like very, like, part of our society, isn't it? So it's normal. But it's just every now and then, like, thinking about your values. And, like, for me, and it's, like, how you prioritise the money that you do have. And that's regardless of the amount. Like, what do you do when you do have that pocket money? Like, you know, that's what I kind of see it as. Like, that still reminds me of getting, like, a five of pocket money. And that could, you know, maybe I could do a DJ gig and get paid. Okay, but what do I do with it?
Yeah.
And my priorities will be different to maybe some of my peers that earn maybe the same or more or less. And theirs might be to put it into the house or to save or whatever. And, like, I'm much more spontaneous, and my priority is to make sure people have a good time around me. It's to travel. It's to make my, like, my life, like, enhanced and not be too fretty and take it too seriously. But it is each to their own, because it's a lot to do with, like, how you're brought up and stuff. But I just do think if we could all have, like, this idea that it doesn't actually buy you happiness, it can buy you some really cool things, and it is good to work hard and get some and do whatever you want with it. Do whatever. If you want to save it, do that. I'm in awe of you. But I just think as long as you know that it can't actually buy you happiness, I think that's a good start.
Yeah. And your final piece of advice, dancing.
Yes. This one, again, is just so short. I know I love to chat, but it's easy.
Yeah.
In the wise words of Chic, let's dance. That is it. If all else fails, just boogie. It's that simple.
Yeah, absolutely. The joy that you get when you're with your friends and you're dancing and, like, you just don't care about anything else. There's nothing like it, is there?
It's my favourite thing to do. Mm. It really is. I don't even know, like, why. I know that there must be some scientific reason, but I don't think we dance enough. Like, our culture, like, even of rest time, is like Netflix or foodie culture. Again, yes, yes. But, like, let's, like, go on Pinterest and type in Studio 54, and you'll see that disco was a way of life. It was more than a disco ball. I am for it. I believe that is genuinely good advice.
Best songs to get you on the dance floor.
You can't go wrong with a bit of disco and me. And some old school garage, because that's just, like, my
very
age.
Very much with you there.
Yeah, Sweet Female Attitude, Flowers.
Every time.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's like, you must know, it is so gratifying when you put that song on that gets everybody else up dancing. That's the second feeling from dancing yourself, I think.
Yeah. It's true. I DJ'd at my birthday party the other night. I had a pub disco. And, oh, the sound stuff. Like, I'm technically rubbish in terms of, like, setting up all the equipment and stuff. And it was a really old school falling apart pub, and there was nothing in there. So I was in there from 11 in the morning trying to do this setup. And it was just so ridiculous. And, like, so then when it finally came for me DJing, I was like, oh, it's just my birthday party. There's loads of people here that could do it. Like, why am I doing it?
Yeah.
And I was like changing up all the, like, the leads and stuff. And then as soon as I, like, got into the swing of it, I was like, I know why I'm doing this, because I just love making the people that I love have a great time and choose the tunes. And I love music. Even though I'm not a muso, I'm not an expert. I've worked in, like, music broadcasts for 10 years, whatever. But, like, I'm not snobby. I just like people, like, letting go.
Yeah, absolutely. It's amazing. And we always ask people to share the worst piece of advice they'd be giving, because people love dispensing advice and giving it around, and sometimes it's not for you, so you know it's not what you need to hear, so tell me about this.
That's good advice in itself, just remembering that, by the way.
Yeah,
just being like, oh, not everyone, like, has the right idea for me. But it's kind of similar to that, and it's to just to be you, I think, and to be me is not to play it safe. I'm not just saying that for effect. Like, I actually can't, whenever I try and conform to, like, what I'm supposed to be doing, it just sort of falls apart. Like, I can't I can't do it. So like when I went to drama school, like I wanted to be an actor and it was really serious. And then I was like, can't really be anyone but myself. Mm-hmm. Oh, like, what am I going to do? But I think that like it's even more serious now. Like there's this idea, there's this set path and it starts at school. And that is the way to achieve in life. Like you get great grades and then you make all the right decisions to know how to have an achievable, successful adult life. And you'll get a mortgage and you'll have like the right partner and you'll just, all the decisions you make will be great. And I think that the school system currently, especially, really sets us up for that. Mm-hmm. There's a huge academic pressure and it scares me because like you don't know what's going to happen. Like things might collapse at points and if you were to do it in like a map form, you know, like or the like a road form or a graph form, like life is like so higgledy piggledy. Yeah. It's up and down and you turn around and things are unexpected and you never know when you're going to fall in love. Mm. Like you don't know what's going to happen. You don't know when your heart's going to break and that can happen for so many reasons, not just a romantic partner. Like you might experience grief, you know, all these things. So there is no set way. Mm. There really isn't. You can't look up to people and be like, I want to have a life just like theirs. Or as long as I get that job, like everything will be okay.
Yeah.
Because it just doesn't always work out like that. And that is okay. Like, it's not a sad realization. It's actually really liberating. And you just go, well, this is kind of exciting because I don't really know what's going to happen. Yeah. So I'm just going to roll with it.
Where do you think you would have ended up if you played it safe? And
oh, my God. I was thinking about this the other day. Like, I was going to go to my local college and maybe study beauty. Mm-hmm. That feels so alien to me now because, firstly, like, and when it comes to detail, I'm rubbish. And you have to be quite an intricate artist to be a beautician. So, I mean, I've got chipped fingernails. And so I would have been rubbish. Yeah. So that would have been a problem.
Yeah.
And I do remember thinking I'm definitely going to end up staying in this small town, like where I'm from, as long as like my boyfriend ends up being mine forever. And he was terrible for me. Made me really sad at that time, my teenage boyfriend. Yeah, I just... I think if I like played it safe, I might have ended up sort of feeling quite not just not in the right like world, like you know, like I'm an explorer, like I'm quite single minded. I do what I want and I challenge myself and I'm an adventurer and I don't think. If I'd played it safe and made sure that I got an A in my maths GCSE, which I don't think would have been even possible because I got an E, but I did get an A in English. So, you know, exactly. This is me. Like, I'm yin yang. Yeah, I definitely would have different hair too.
Thank you so much, Gemma. I just think it's all really kind of joyful, inspiring advice.
Thank
People
you.
Are going to be jumping off the bus to work and ready to go.
Yes. And I know it's a shameless plug, but this is the one thing in life that I love to plug because I love it. And it is my book.
Yeah.
Open, a toolkit for how magic and messed up life can be. There's a paperback, which is half of the original, called Open Your Heart, which is available, which is easier to lug around because the original was a kilogram, but it does have a ribbon in it and a glitter front. So it's worth checking out. But it is all of this advice. It's all these realizations that I came to. It's full color. It's hard. It's rough and tough. It's gritty. But it's also just like super joyful. And I'm really proud of it. So if you're interested in any of this bump and chat and stuff and you want it in book form as a full index that you can like jump to the subject matter. And there's a podcast series as well called Open Up. So it's a pleasure to pass that on and then you become Team Open. But it's always nice to chat. I love chatting. Thank you, Rhianna.
Thanks for coming, Gemma.
Cheers.
Thanks so much to Gemma for all her advice. As I said, I think it was really uplifting, joyful and realistic stuff that she put in there. And I hope you're able to carry some of it into your day today. If you're enjoying the podcast so far, please do subscribe. Please rate us and review us if you're listening on iTunes. It really helps. We look forward to seeing you next week for more advice from women worth listening to.